And just prior to that, there's a little story that the three or four of us know is about Phil Vickery. Phil Vickery at the time was, as you know, was down in his farm and playing at junior level for England alongside Phil Green and Trevor Woodman. Mm. And Andy Deeks, bless him, I don't know how many games he played that season or was playing. You know, he'd play week in, week out, every day of the week if he wanted to. And it was just wearing on him, and we needed another tight head prop. And Phil Green at the time was in Colts, as captain of the Gloucester Colts. And I said to Barry Corliss, look, let's get into Phil. He's highly ranked in the England setup. You know, I wanted to get him into the first 15, but Barry Corliss said no, he's too young. So I spoke to Phil, and he said about Phil Vickery, and obviously he was friends there. And I used to live, believe it or not, 200 yards away from Kingsham, and Phil's parents lived around the corner. Anyway, Phil went off to an England game, and
Phil Greening,
yeah, came back and said to me, Viv, he said, look, Phil's coming up to stay the weekend. I said, bring him over to the club on Friday. I'll introduce myself to him. We'll have a chat. Bring my wife over. And on a Friday evening, Phil Vickery turned up to the club with Phil as well. We had a chat, and he was really interested in coming to Kingsham. Anyway, on the Saturday we played, and he came to watch the game. And on the Sunday, off he went home. And I went to the committee on the Sunday, and this is how it was. This is how it was about this professionalism. It was. So, you know, potentially we've got a England Colt prop coming. He wants to come. He's highly rated. I think, you know, he'll do us a favour. Mm-hmm. I said, is there any chance of having any expenses for him to go back on the train back down to Launceston? And they said no. And he had to fund it himself.
Really?
Yeah. And that's when they changed. Yes. And obviously, Phil Vickery... the name speaks for itself, and yeah. That's how Phil actually came to the club. It was through Phil Greening and myself, and that little weekend when they said no.
The committee changed their expenses policy to enable Phil to come up by train.
Yeah, they changed everything then, and they I think they probably look back now and say, yeah, we did the right thing.
Yeah,
we started to put. You know, players' expenses on the agenda. Let's how do we get round it?
Yes.
Because obviously there was financial remuneration as far as the tax man was concerned, and things like that. And you know, they were still young as a committee in the professional era, weren't they? And nobody had any experience. And then Richard Hill really changed it. He sort of hammered it home. Look, you've got to do this. You want these sort of players to come.
He came from Bath, and of course the stories about Bath and their expenses policy were freely being discussed. Did you get the impression that he brought to the club a different hard-headed attitude which actually helped the committee come to terms with the situation?
I wouldn't say it was hard-nosed as far as that was concerned. He brought a different view. And luckily, with Mike Teague alongside as well, that they'd both been out in the wider world of expenses, and they saw it, and both of them agreed, and the committee agreed, if we want to be successful, we haven't got to have 20, 30 players from local to make us successful. Mm. You know, we need quality international class players to come and join Gloucester. Mm. And how do we get them to join? You know, because of the M4 corridor, the likes of, you know, the Harlequins and the Wasps and things like that. So they did, which was great for the club.
Of course, in those days, a lot of the Harlequins players were ship brokers and insurance brokers, and had all sorts of affinities outside rugby, didn't they?
They did. I remember going. Luckily, my coaching career sort of developed a bit after a few courses, and I became a senior coach. That basically meant that I could coach coaches. It's like, who coaches the coach, you know? And We went to the Lensbury Club. I was part of the Lensbury Club committee at that time, and we went up there, and there was Brian Ashton, was part of it. Chalky White,
yeah.
Steve Smith from Wasp, Don Rutherford, Ed Morrison was a refs representative, who was a great, had a real feel for the game, and Don Rutherford, and you know, his explanation of, you know, King's Home, you know, the pitches have got to change, they've got to be like billiard tables now, because we want athletes, we want to entertain people, and that's when it all started.
You've got to cut the grass.
You've got to cut the grass. You've got to cut the grass. And we were at a meeting, and we were training the English squad at the time, and we were just sat down afterwards, said, who's on the committee at King's Home? And, you know, we were talking about the King's Home committee and whatever. And said, in Harlequins, they had something like 25 millionaires within a small...
Yes.
group of people at Harlequins, and obviously King's Home didn't have that. they didn't.
But that was the competition, wasn't it?
Well, that was it.
And that was the challenge.
That's what you've got to recognise, is that, you know, the likes of the Leicesters, and there's a lot of healthy, wealthy people there. You know, and was it Robin Cowlin was given a couple of fields, wasn't he, as part of a payment, if I remember rightly? And he won't mind me telling you that now, because I know the tax man actually did catch up with him, and he's paid his dues since then.
So Richard Hill arrived. There's an interesting story which circulated when Richard Hill sat down and worked out his strategy about sitting down with the fixture list and deciding whether Gloucester would actually try to compete for certain games. Was that part of... Do you remember that happening?
No, I can't. I can't. You know, every game when we selected a side, that was never ever spoken about. When we selected a side, you know, you selected a side to go and win that game, paramount, and... you know, you never select a side not to lose a game.
There was a famous game against Harlequins when, for better or worse, the Gloucester side was perhaps not the first 15 that one might have hoped.
Yeah, that was. I think we got turned over quite heavily there, didn't we? For whatever reason, but no different into my playing days. I can remember going to Bridge End on a New Year's Eve, and we actually went in. We'd won, I think, 19 games on the trot. We were unbeaten. We had a very successful cup run, and we lost 53-3. So I think those games, you know, they happen. You've got to put players under pressure. You've got to introduce new blood. If you don't, you're gonna take a step backwards. And those players will learn. They've got an opportunity to put a cherry and white on, and it'll be representing their city. So at times, you know, players were selected on let's see what they can actually do, because some players were putting their hands up. They were playing for the United, and they were playing extremely well. And you had to ask a question of them: could they step up the next level in that cauldron? And so, you know, on occasions, sides were selected whereby you wanted to see and give other players an opportunity to prove their health, because you've got to have a squad, and it's proved it. And we're going back to in the early 90s, and it's just proven it now. And, you know, the New Zealanders and England have started to do it. Ireland have done it as well, and the international level. Is that you've got to have a squad of 30, 32 players to be successful nowadays. It's no good relying on the same 20, 23 players, because they're going to get battered and bruised, and they're not going to put it together.
Richard Hill brought a number of his former colleagues at Bath to join the club. Did that go down well with the local chaps?
Everybody got on well. everybody got on well. Yeah, we say with a smile. They're obviously, it's no different to any club. There are cliques, isn't there? Yeah. There are cliques. But once you go out onto the paddock.
But this was part of a cultural change, wasn't it? That Gloucester, the players had to get used, perhaps, to having people brought in who hadn't come through the culture which people like yourself had endured.
Yeah, the rank and file. You know, I look back at my playing career and my coaching career and the playing side. I think you had to play 21 games in a season to be on the first team photo. I think you had to play something like 15 games to get a player's tie. There was an unwritten rule that you could talk about in the modern era. You had to play 3 games for the United before you were even selected, for the thought about being selected for the first 15 in those days. So there were certain traditions that King's Home had. I haven't got a problem with those traditions. Things do change, and you've got to change with them. If the world goes round and round, doesn't it? And if you don't go round with it, you get off. But it is a shame. It is a shame that some of those traditions have gone.